Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Are you excited about Christmas? Eh? But you know Christmas was a pagan holiday. So excited about celebrating a pagan holiday. Anyway, doesn't matter. For me, I'm excited about Christmas. Pagan holiday, what holiday equals holiday. So we'll enjoy. Praise the Lord. Now, the Spirit of God is here for the purpose of quickening. To quicken you. Glory to God. To put an acceleration in you that is going to take you ahead of the wheels of the chariots of Ahab. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where you are, I mean, because, you know, we've been speaking, and sometimes when you list, you study a lot of these things and see what the kingdom of the enemy is planning, And I've been studying them for 5 years. I mean, the real actual things of what the other kingdom is planning and how far they have gone in their things, trying to prepare themselves for the coming of the Antichrist. So I would ask myself, but are we anywhere close to as prepared as they are? Because if you've been listening to some of the things we've spoken about here and the whole plot, and you see how now suddenly, by the way, let me tell you, these policies which these people are pushing is it's an international thing. Eh? It's not just this government here. Although when we are fighting, we actually make it look like it's them, because we have to put them under pressure. But it's an international thing to subdue all churches under the authority first of the false prophet, who is Pope Francis the First. Okay? Now, when you read Revelation 13, it speaks about how the false prophet does one thing. He points everybody to worship the Antichrist. Let me read something here from Revelation 13. Then I saw another beast, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the mouth of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. We all know this. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. In other words, there is a linkage between the first beast, who is the Antichrist, and this other beast, who is the false prophet. The false prophet exercises his authority in the presence, or I would say with the authority of, or with the permission of the first beast. Only the first beast is not yet there, and the false prophet comes first. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that the Antichrist will not come until the falling away. That is the deception that leads the church away from the great falling away. Now, it's the falling away of Christianity, okay? But concerning the times, okay, and he exercises, you first go to that scripture, the ones you put, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, that is the rapture, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, keep it at verse 3. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first, then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin, or the son of perdition, is the Antichrist. But the falling away is governed by another person who is a religious figure. Now, go to this same verse. Go to let's read it from the Amplified. What does it say? Let no one deceive you or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy. Apostasy is false, you know? You know what apostasy is. Comes first. Unless the predicted great falling away of those who professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, who is the son of doom or the son of perdition. Now, the thing is, first, before the Antichrist comes, there has to be a falling away of Christianity, of people who profess to be Christians. Now, that falling away is led by the false prophet, whom the scripture... Now, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter... to Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. Then it says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Go ahead. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, the first beast is the Antichrist. Now, what the false prophet does is he comes and organizes a system that makes everybody look and worship the Antichrist. Okay? And that system, and he does not come up with a new religion. He just comes up with a combining of religions so that there is some kind of consensus among the religions, and then there is no exclusivity. That is, there is nobody saying Christianity is the only way. Christianity is just one of many ways. That's what they would want you to believe. Now, when that comes away, that's the falling away. Now, the false prophet, everything he does points towards the Antichrist. In the same way as everything the Holy Spirit does points towards who? Jesus or Christ. Now, it's the same system. So now this system which they are bringing here, which you see this government, it's not coming from this government. They are also being pushed. There's a lot of funding, okay? Funding for interreligious council and what? You think it's coming from the government? No, it's not. It's coming from the false prophet. Actually, it's being pushed by the Pope. And it's not just here. In Zambia, they are fighting the same things. In Rwanda, they just mess them up with one tweet. And across the world. And it's the same system. And it's all, first of all, getting everybody in one umbrella and subduing them. Now, when they are sufficiently subdued, then now he points them towards worship the Antichrist. Okay, go ahead, verse 13. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now remember, this happens, much of this happens when the two witnesses are there. Remember the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11? Now, there are different analogies of who the two witnesses are. And people believe different things. But see, when you read the scripture, it says they have the power to make it not rain for 3.5 years. And we know who did that. Who did that? And then it says also, okay, something else. Now you see, who called fire from heaven to come down in the sight of men? Who did it? Elijah. Now, these guys, when the two witnesses are busy performing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit here on earth, the false prophet is doing the same there. Just like it was in the days of Moses against Pharaoh. So, Moses throws down the stick, he turns into a snake. They do the same. Then the second miracle, they do the same. Then the third miracle, the same. Now, Pharaoh's heart is being hardened. But then by the time they go to the fourth miracle, the magicians can no longer stand. That's where their power ends. Okay? So, the false prophet calls fire down, and the two witnesses, who perhaps one of them will be Elijah, there's no certainty about this, also calls down fire, closes the, can cause it to stop raining for 3.5 years. That's what the Bible says. So, there's a counterfeit for everything. there is those who believe in Christ and those who believe do not believe in Christ. And remember, Jesus said, beware of deception. You see, now you people, none of you understand how deceptive it is going to get in the times to come if you do not have a personal relationship with God. It is going to be, if your relationship is based on hearsay, they said, he said, she said, somebody heard him saying, and you know, it's going to be tight. Because right now people are deceived by simple things like the pleasures of this world. But now that time they are doing miracles, this one is doing miracles. Jesus said, when you hear them saying he's here, don't go. Because there will come somebody who is claiming to be the Christ and is doing the exact same things. And now if you look at the channels, if you look at TV, even look at those places of Discovery Channel, now the increase in the amount of supernatural that is being done, unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is so easy for those people to deceive you. Because they do everything. There's this guy who is on TV and he had a show on Discovery Channel. He tries to do everything Jesus did. So he multiplies loaves there in front of people. Now, do you know what that does? It hardens people's hearts. Now, people even who say they believe in science and they will not believe Jesus did it, when he does it there, they will. So what he does is, he likes to go doing those things. And he does them in the presence of a controlled group of people. And now what he does is he goes to celebrities. I was seeing him among footballers, Rio Ferdinand, Wayne Rooney, and what? Then he walks through a wall. And walks through a wall and comes and stands. Then they say, wow, how did you do that? Then one day, he was going to, they invited him to go to, for an interview in a TV station. So they agreed the interview was some weeks away. So what he did is he wrote a piece of paper. He wrote on a piece of paper a number of things. So he wrote them down. And then he gave the paper to the people who were going to interview him. And he told them that, do not open it until the day that I come for the interview. So on the day that he came for the interview, they opened the paper and it had the newspaper headlines from a certain newspaper of that day. And so he blows people away. Now, the thing is, they pull off. The other day, that same guy had a show in London. In the big arena called the Auto Arena. I think people are paying like 4,000, 3,000 pounds to go there for him to just manifest the supernatural. Eh? So he's here talking, then the next thing is behind, then he's here, then he's what, then he's putting off those things. And now here is the thing. Eh? Now here is the funny thing. Now, did you know that they have to watch that audience? If I went and sat in that audience, all his things go, even if I can't do them myself. But when I come and stand there near him, his powers vanish. Not just me, even somebody who just got born again today. So he watches his audience very well. Because even if you're a believer, you might not be able to do those things. But you can switch off his power by just your presence. So all the people who go to, they have to watch the audience. And now they are so safe, he will come and you still know there is somebody here who is not one of us. So they will have to look around, smoke somebody, then say, yeah, now the power has been switched back on. But you see now, the thing is, now the guy walks up from a building, from a top-story building, and he walks down, walking like this, horizontally, like this, in front of cameras on Discovery Channel. But don't show up there when he's doing that, otherwise you will die. Because he will just come down. But anyway, how do I get to say this? I was telling you that the level of deception that is coming, by the way, like I wish you people understood that world is preparing itself seriously for the Antichrist. Now remember, for the Antichrist to show up, there has to be a conducive environment. The scripture says, Daniel 8:23, it says that, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, okay, A king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. Now that king is the Antichrist. But he has to wait for the latter time when the transgressors have reached their full, when the atmosphere is prepared for him to come. Then he shows up. Now, of course, he's already there. And he's somewhere. But for him to be revealed, there has to be a conducive atmosphere. Now, so I was comparing what they are doing to prepare themselves for the return, for the unveiling of the Antichrist. And then I was comparing ourselves, what we are doing to prepare ourselves. And I was seeing like we are lagging behind. Do you understand? We seem to be lagging behind. So I was saying, but Lord, how is this? How is this going to happen? When the people who are our adversaries, whom we are going to dominate, seem to be so far ahead of us. Now, then he gave me a word. Praise the Lord. He gave me a word for us today. So he gave me a word for us today. Psalms 119 verse 37. Old King James. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in your way. Somebody say, quicken me in your way. Now, turn my eyes away from vanity. Then I realize that even in as much as I have to study those things to know what they are doing, I should not let them get to me, because I will have missed the point. In spite of how far they seem to go, I am going to dominate them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in them. And that is a given. And the end, God's end time army cannot be stopped by them, by the way. And then we know that even according to Bible prophecy, when Jesus comes for the church will be on top in every sphere of influence. Praise the Lord. So now, how is that going to happen? Through a quickening, a divine quickening, which is going to happen, which is going to be the feature of our 2019. Speed. Quickening where somebody seemed to be so far away, but because, you know, that thing where God's timing, people are lagging behind, and out of his mercy. Genesis 19, verse what? 33. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, say, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, somebody say, while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside of the city. Now you see, even Lot, there's that thing of God has showed mercy to you, but you're lingering and the time for the destruction has come. So the angels just come and get you and throw you out of the mercies of God. Now this, the things we have to do in the kingdom of God are so urgent, and the people who are going to do them are us. Okay? There is no second alternative. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is us. So now God has to quicken us, because I see some of the things which people, like, which I've dealt with people who are very fast in the spirit, okay? And who you teach one spiritual principle, and within a short time, they have applied it, and it is working in their life, and they are moving on so fast, and you say, wow, that's something special. Then I see others who are a bit slow, and you see one thing, you keep on saying it over and over again, then it is clouded with fear. And with especially fear to step out. For instance, I was telling you about the house thing. Move house. Some people did it immediately. And the next thing, it works for them. Others, there is fear, there is, you know. But the Lord being merciful to them, he will quicken them. Where you wake up and maybe even shuts off your mind, and you wake up and find yourself in the place you're supposed to be. Because you needed somebody to, you know, quicken you a bit, And this is the urgency of the spirit right now. Praise the Lord. That some people, even the slow ones, are not going to be left behind. Praise the Lord. But it is good if you learn how to just pick up something and push it on. Now, I was telling people the other day, some people, about, okay, some guy comes and tells me that he has this boss of his who is very, like, not good to him and what. So I said, okay, just bring a point of contact. So he went and got the boss's pen, and brought it to a meeting, which we had with him. It was a Wednesday night. So I just said, okay, now the boss is gone. Now Thursday morning, the guy is here looking at me. So Thursday morning, his boss comes to his office and tells him, I have to tell you something. So he says, I didn't want you to hear it elsewhere. I want you to, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm going back to Egypt. I'm leaving this place. The next day, there was no talk of him going the previous day. The next day, he's gone. Now, that same guy, we talked about envisioning something that you want, a result that you want. He went and came back with a testimony which astounded me, because he had done serious envisioning on money. On money. Serious envisioning, and the results were spectacular. And I was like, wow. Now, there are quick people like that. Okay? Very fast. Tell him one thing, he jumps on it. Now, I told those people, okay. And other things which I, you know, you tell somebody and you say, now, you know, you can do this and this. And the next thing, the person is on it. The next thing, they have mastered it. The next thing, you're not even sure if they know it better than you or not. And now they are the quick people. But then they are slow people. You understand, man, everything is for, you know, pushing, even faith. Like even something of faith, something that requires them to depend on God is a big, big, big problem. Praise the Lord. But now, God is quickening us. Like Lot, holding your hand and saying, get out of here. It's time for you to leave this place. You've been like, something has to change. Glory to God. But he also says that take your eyes away from observing vain things. Now, one of the reasons people look at, things and they look out of this world is because they have been over-observing, okay, certain things. I'll give you an example. These people whom we've been trying to fight this religious whatever. Now, there's this pastor whom we sat in June. We agreed we are going to have a meeting in July. He got on a plane and went to America. Next thing I knew, he was sending me WhatsApps with American numbers. So he said, when you come back, come and we organize. He said, okay, I'll tell you. I realized he had been around 3 months and he hadn't told me. So now when the new headlines came out, I called him and said, man, no, but it can't pass. These people are joking. They are joking. Sure, how can they? You know, they are joking. So I told him, okay, now they are joking, but now what do we do? He said, let me get back to you. The next thing he did, he sent me a video of his 31st overnight. The guy who was supposed to get back to me, we talk about how we are going to handle this. He sent me a video of his 31st overnight. So I saw a message for me, I click, it's a video, and I'm then video of people spitting and what, and he's chasing demons and says, come, 31st, and what, crossover. I said, So I kept quiet. Then, but by that time, the Lord had revealed to me that the people you're trying to do with are scared. They cannot fight with you because they are what? They are scared of the government. They are scared of Jezebel. They are scared of what? They are scared of themselves, of their shadows. So what I did, I decided. So when I wrote an article, then he got the same article I'd written, then sent it to me on WhatsApp, and said, yeah, the struggle continues. So now, So I realized the guy is scared, but he's with me in spirit. Eh? You understand? But he cannot step out because, now why are they scared of those people? Because they have been observing vanities. There are people whom you even tell some, like, they have, that guy has projected himself on them as totally invincible, completely invincible out of this world. So they will just sit back and cheer when you're what? Say, man, we are with you, eh? The aluta continua, the struggle continues. But they will never, I understand that, you understand, eh? But the thing is, for me, I have not been observing vanities. For me, I know the power of God. Praise the Lord. I know that God is God. I know that greater is he that is in me, eh? Do you understand, eh? Now, these are things which you have to, it's one thing saying them, but it's another thing actually believing it. Believing that nobody can frustrate the purpose of God. Nobody. Nobody. Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. And nobody can snatch anybody out of his arms. Praise the Lord. Now, if Jesus said that, who cares what the president said? I mean, who cares? Like, a mortal man who is here today and dead tomorrow? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, and you tell me Museveni, who is Museveni? Jezebel, who is Jezebel? Jesus? Do you understand? But you see, if you observe, you see, he looks very big to you, and the guy is walking in trousers which are up to here, look like this. But somehow you think he's so powerful. Do you understand? Eh? Okay, he's our president. I don't mean to disrespect him. But the point is that when you go back to the other scripture. Okay, let's first leave this one. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck out of my Father's hand. Praise God. No man is God. He's God. God. Who created the galaxies and the heavens. But you see, now, that has not been magnified in you because you're observing vanities. Do you understand? Eh? Vanities. So you put yourself in a certain place where that person is so powerful. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? In the year that King Uzziah did what? I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Praise the Lord. Now the train of his robe fills where his children are gathered, eh? Which is a temple like now. Praise the Lord. Now, but some people, for us, we don't have to wait for the year that King Uzziah died. Eh? For us, we already did what? Saw the Lord. Eh? But some people will see him when in the year. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, glory to God. Now, I wish you knew that these scriptures, and I didn't come prepared to say anything that I'm saying right now. Eh? It's all coming to me by the Spirit of God. Now, in the year that the King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. This man, Uzziah, you know the story of King Uzziah, how he had been so powerful, and everybody was so scared of him that he even went into the temple and wanted to offer incense. Okay? Now, even... So, somebody can become so big that he's a stumbling block between people seeing God. And seeing God seated on a throne, high and lifted up. Okay? And the train of his, what? Of his robe filled the temple. Glory to God. So I realized that the reason people are scared is because they have been observing vanities. Amen? They have been observing vanities. You know this. You know he did this. You know he did that. Now they are preaching him on pulpits. Now they are, man, that's vanities. Vanities. Absolute vanities. Now, if you are going to go back to the scripture, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me. You will be quickened in this way. Praise the Lord. When you stop looking at things as if anybody can frustrate God. Nobody can frustrate God. There is not a single... Nobody can frustrate the purpose of God. Now, I know that sounds right. But you see, you have to totally believe it. That when you see somebody coming to arraign themselves against you, you know they cannot win because God is with you. Pure and simple, God is with me. Now, that doesn't mean they will not fight. That doesn't mean they have not already fought. That doesn't mean we do not come up against, you know. But they will fight. But there can only be one winner. Praise the Lord. Now, if you stop observing vanities, you see, even in the business world, there are people, you come, you believing in God, you have the unction of God, you believe you have the anointing of God to succeed in business. Then you get there and that world has its giants. You understand? Eh? There are people saying, man, you cannot succeed in this. Eh? Unless you do what? You need to have certain friends in high places. So now those are the King Uzziahs. And by the way, dying does not necessarily mean dying. It can mean dying in your mind. Because there are people who are dead in my mind when they are alive. So, they don't have to be dead, actual dead. So, now somebody enters, even in the church. I remember there was a pastor in America who went and preached that it is wrong for a black person to marry a white person. And he said that, you know, you can find a scripture for anything in the Bible if you want to deceive yourself. So he went and used that thing of Noah, of gathering the animals. And it says every animal went after its own kind. Then he said that if you go for a Muzungu, that's not your own kind. Okay, now that is real rubbish. That is decrepit rubbish. I wish I could use a stronger word on the pulpit. So, one guy stood up and rebuked him and said that, take back that crap. You see, take back that rubbish. And now, he said when he did that, other people came and said, man. Now, these are pastors. Other people came and said, man, be quiet. Those guys have a nene, and sometimes you need them. Then the guy says, no, me, I have one munene, Jesus. Eh? Okay, not that, like, you know, we have bad name. But you see, the thing is, like, where people have caved their car authority. You understand? Eh? Yeah. They have caved their car authority, and if you are to enter, they project themselves on you, you have to be in their good graces. Now, you come with the grace of God to dominate those people. And God has anointed you to dominate those people. But you reach there and they actually compromise you and they put you under them. And you know there's nothing God can do if you allow that. Nothing. You just have to find somebody else. Because the person who you go there and start saying, now sir, what is the person you actually going supposed to take over from? And you have to come with that attitude. Well, I've come to take over. Like there is no compromise. We are not talking about anything. You understand? Eh? Hey, otherwise, you'd be like these politicians who you want to take over state power. They call you for some meeting, and then you're on selfies smiling next to the president. And he's also looking at you, saying, look at these clouds, and they think they can be in power. How can you, like, you saw those things? Simani iPod, what? I thought it was even an iPad. Okay. iPod now, and the guys who are supposed to be his adversaries are doing what? Are taking selfies and posing for group photos on the stairs. Eh? Then they even Teresa, they are caught. Observing what? Observing vanities. And then now you, how can you take over somebody whom you're being? Let 2 Kings chapter 9. Now here we have read the scripture before, you know it, of how Jehu was anointed to be king. But I want us to start from verse 14. And it says, so Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Joram was the king. Joram was the son of Jezebel and Ahab. Eh? Now, Joram had been defending Ramoth Gilead and he and all Israel against Hazael, king of Syria. Go ahead. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, "If you are so minded, let no one live or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel." Okay? So, the people who had seen him being anointed, he told them, "Now, no, none of you should go and tell those people. Let me go there myself." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel. For Joram was laid up there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, "I see a company of men." And Joram said, "Get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, 'Is it peace?'" Now you see, this is how slavery is made. You have just been anointed to be king. Now you go to the king who is in peace and he says, "Let us talk peace." What peace? I want your throne. Can there be peace when I want your throne? No, they can't. There's no peace. So, is it peace? So the horseman went back to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported saying, "The messenger went to them, but is not coming back." Okay? Go ahead. Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And you know, is it iPod over what we meet and discuss with you? Do you understand? That's what they did. Is it peace? So they come and discuss what? Then the headline that comes out of him discussing is that what? Is that I still have so much to do. I'm not going anywhere. And that's the guy you've been talking with. Do you understand? Like, okay, there are certain things which, but you know, these are spiritual things. You have to have a different spiritual alignment to even see how stupid all that is. Because if you don't have something spiritual, it looks like okay. So you go and also take a photo. Okay, that says the king, "Is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me again." So the watchman reported saying, he went up to them and is not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Then Joram said, "Make ready." Now, do you see this man? Just a short while ago, they anointed him to be king. Took him out to anoint him to be king. Now, he's going to the king, the actual king, riding furiously. That's okay, so I'm king. I've gone, riding furiously. Now, then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Now, it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" Go ahead. Then Joram turned around and fled. Now this is the king fleeing before one of his servants. And said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram, who is the same as Joram, between his arms. And the arrow came out at his heart and he sank down in his chariot. Now, okay, let's stop there. My point is this. Here is a man who understood what the anointing can do. Because otherwise, what right do you have to go into a palace riding furiously? Do you understand? This is your king and you just come. And even the king is scared because he's seeing you coming. Let's talk. Let's talk peace. Let's do that. This is how, peace. Now, that's how slaves are made. Okay? Now, the time of talking peace, by the way, ended a long time ago. Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but what?" I did not say that. Jesus said it. Okay. Now, these things of now we are meeting together, this religious thing, coming together, all religions. You know, we are one. There are so many ways to heaven. We worship the same God. You know that rubbish, Okay. So, anyhow, I was saying observing vanities. Okay? Now people are masters at observing vanities. Now, if you are going to be quickened 2019, quickened. Somebody say quickened. 2019. Say it again. Say it again. Which year? You are going to stop observing vanities. You are going to understand that you serve the Most High God. There is nothing. There is no one that can stand in your way. Not some boss who came from Egypt. If he messes you up, you send him back where? Because even as an unbeliever, where does he belong? Praise the Lord. Nobody stands in your way. Amen? Glory to God. So now when you go away to spend some time with the Lord, between now and when we come back here, when you go and spend time with the Lord, take your mind away from. Everybody has an... Do you know, I meet people all the time. This lady came to me, she's married to a man who is abusive and what? And she said, I want to commit suicide. You know, I said, how can you commit suicide because of a man? Just leave his home if he's abusive. You don't know that man. You know, like the man has become a mountain. She has allowed a man, an abusive man, to be a mountain to her. And now even no solution you give her can help. Because she almost wants to recruit you into fearing that man. Observing what? Vanities. Praise the Lord. Observing vanities. And other people, other things. I understand this. Of course I understand these things. But you know, she was actually threatened to commit. She was asking me, people who commit suicide, do they go to heaven? So I said, I'm not going to answer that. And that is real. A man, like, observing vanities. The guy has become a mountain before you. And now even you come to God. Now that's what happens even with things like sickness. A sickness, the devil lifts it up so high that God looks so small in comparison. Then say, what? Cancer. Now try telling that person that God can heal. God is so small, cancer is big. You understand? And you've observed vanities. Like real vanities. That's how HIV used to be in the 90s. Very big. People say, what? AIDS? And now you can't lift yourself up to get to that place. Let me read one more scripture and we finish. Romans 8:11. Let's end there. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Praise the Lord. Quicken your mortal bodies. That means give you ability in your body to do something that is beyond you. Glory to God. And now that power that is resident in you that raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God. That quickens your mortal body. If it has sickness, it becomes healthy. Glory to God. If it has weakness, it becomes strong. The spirit, if that spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, here is the thing. The spirit that God, Jesus' body which was dead and raised it from the dead, dwells in you, the same spirit, the same power. And if he dwells in you, then he can quicken you and that fever goes, that flu goes, that what, you know, that everything, every sickness, he can quicken you and any weakness. You wake up, you need supernatural power, you take on that supernatural power. Praise the Lord. Amen? You can even use this scripture. You would be shocked at where I use scriptures like this. Like even when I'm jogging and I'm weak, going up a hill, and I'm tempted to walk instead of jogging, I say he quickens my mortal body. Then you take on another power, then the next thing you know, you're on top of the hill. But then you know that somehow you did not have the energy to do it. Now, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your bodies, shall quicken your progress, shall quicken your business, shall quicken everything about you. Praise the Lord. Shall even quicken your faith to believe God for big things. Glory to God. Now, That is how you are going to enjoy, when God is holding your hand and saying, okay, now, you're a bit slow, but let me to wake you up a bit so that you move at a pace which is glory to God. Because like there are people whom I know who like 1, 2, 3, 4 years, they are at the same place. And that is so disconcerting. Because I know so many people who come to this ministry and I know their life. Not all of them. So you want to see somebody and know that since I saw this person, I'm seeing progress. Now, if you don't see progress, man, it kind of wears you down and you start saying, what's wrong? Why is this person not moving? What is wrong? So you start praying about them. What is the problem? I'm expecting to see them move from point A to B and C and D. You understand? So now, next year is the year of quickening. Okay, among other things, I'm just telling you at the Lord here. Is the year of what? So do not observe vanities. Do not observe lying vanities or things that are lying to you. And making themselves to seem bigger than God, or making themselves to be bigger than God. Okay? Whatever it is, a situation, a disease, a person, King Uzziah. Don't let anybody deceive you that they are bigger than God. Don't let your eyes see somebody as insurmountable when you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Even death, praise the Lord. Some people have death and it is insurmountable in their eyes. Now, they do not understand that by just looking away from the death and looking at God, that death will come down. Okay? Who are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you become a what? A plain. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Thus says the Lord. Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain of death, of fear? You understand? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and you shall bring forth the headstone thereof. So anything can become a plain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. And I remember one time, I'm telling this story for the benefit of some people, when I was in debt like this, and I really hate people this. Like if there's something I hate, it is somebody taking me out of my peace. Because I have a place where I'm in peace, and that's where I find the Lord. I be still and know that He is God. But then, the devil will never let you be still when somebody is kubanjaring you. When you decide to be still and praise God, that's when the person will call and say, hey man, Jagada said, if you don't give me like every time you try to put yourself in this place of seeking God and somebody majoring I can guarantee you will call that time. That's how you know life is spiritual. Because when you're doing other things, the person will be cheating. When you decide to say, I'm going to take this day off and pray, then the phone call will start. Anyhow, so, and the purpose is to, make you wired. Your heart, your soul be like this. And there you cannot see God. That's why he says, be still and know that I am God. So that day I was walking out of home and I was going to jog. So I would walk through a place which has cars and go to a fairly, a place which has less cars. Then I would jog from there. So now I was just walking. I was not yet jogging. So I walked out from home and I went. And there were all these debts in me. And of course somebody had just called me. Then as I reached there, I was thinking now the thing is this, that is, I did not see where the money to pay those debts was coming from. Now there is being in debt and you kind of have a plan. Then there is being in debt and you have what? No plan. I had no plan. So then the Lord placed it in my spirit, Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So then I started meditating on that scripture. As I went walking, then jogging, he that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not give me money to clear my debts? How shall he not? Are my debts bigger than Jesus Christ, his son? No, they are not. So, So I was thinking all those things. What was God thinking when his son is being kicked and mocked and scourged and what? And he has all the power in the world, but he just turned the other way because of me. That's how much I mean to him. You understand? Eh? And you. So, you just think about what, you know, God was thinking when they are doing that to his son now. But he let it happen because it had to happen for you. Now I said, now if he did that for me, how can he not give me money to pay my debts? So I convinced myself, I convinced myself that my debts are very small. Very, very, very insignificant compared to what God has already given me in his son. And I was convinced completely. And I came back home and I took a shower and I prayed. But now I was not praying from a place of fear. Because you see, what the devil wants you to do is pray from a place of fear and defeat. And you'll never accomplish anything that way. Huh? So somebody calls you, landlord, what, everybody? Then now when you go to pray, you're actually not praying, you're just grumbling. Now God, now even when you try to lift yourself up, your soul is down because you're praying from a place of fear. Now, when you meditate on the word, you pray from a place of victory. Now I knew there is no way God cannot give me money to clear my debts because he gave me the best thing he could ever give, his only son. So that settled it for me. Now I was praying from a place of victory. Thank you, Father, because everything is sorted. You gave me Jesus. How can you not give me this? How can you not give me rent? How can you not give me this? If you gave me Jesus now. So I psyched myself up in faith. I think it took about 1 or 2 months before all the debts were cleared somehow. There was no plan, but somehow I found that all the people I owed money had been paid back, all of them, and there was nobody kubanjaring. Eh? And then even for the first time in my life, I would wake, for the first time, this meant a lot to me, I wish you knew. Eh? For the first time in my life, I would sit and I have 5 million on me, and there is nothing to do with it. Every bill is paid, everything is paid, Yaka is so many units, everything, rent, what. And for the first time, I have money and I have nothing to do with it. I just have it. Amen? Now, that's the time I said, man, God, thank you so much. What? I want to thank you. I said, God, I want to thank you so much. Who do you want to bless? I want to go and give them money as just to thank you, Lord, because you brought me here. Then he told me whom to give. So I went and gave the person money. And I got that money. I said, thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Because there was a time I was in trouble. But now you've brought me to this place. Thank you. And it was from the bottom of my... Like, I was so thankful. And I gave them the money. The next day, I got a lot of money. I said, hey, what kind of God is this? Like, like you give... Like, man, now, praise the Lord. Okay, I've finished. Glory to God. So somebody just stand up and let's pray for 2 minutes. And you thank God for the quickening of 2019. Eh? Praying from a place of victory. Thank you, Father, because I am quickened 2019. Rikabazate revishiro mozon torosha la mazito rosha kana marazante. Roko krazanta la bashiko kromozine meresiko kromozita la bashira mazite. Roko razante levesilo kromozine revishiro prozite revishiram. Rika Marazinto Roshoro Mozita Ravashoro Mozita Ravashiko Krozinte Roku Krasante Ravashira Mrazilebe. Now, choir, there are instructions for you. Eh? Next year, we are going to be singing a lot of our own songs composed by us and sung by us. Now, to compose a good song, you have to put yourself in a certain place. You know, music is very soulish, you understand, eh? Spirit, but you know, also soul. So you have to get yourself in this place of thankfulness, like that place where I was when I went and gave that money. Like, do you know, at that place you can, that's where you write psalms, eh? Where you're still unhappy, and you know, in this, there's a certain place, you understand, eh? So I will also be writing some songs for you, but I will give them to, I'll just give you lyrics and you sort it, because there are times when I'm in that place. Eh? And And like, there is just this flow. And at that moment, you can write a very powerful song because you are completely in tune with the Spirit. So now next year, we are going to, by June, we'll be having no song that is not ours. All songs will have been from here.
Amen.
Now, all of you, now these pulpit ministers, all of you, you, and you. Also, you come here, the 1st, 11th January, you're going to tell us what the Lord has told you about 2019. Don't copy. Don't listen to what anybody else is saying. Just go and seek the Lord, and let him give you a word. Praise the Lord. And we'll give you a platform to come and tell us what you're seeing. If it is fake, it is okay. But don't copy. Do not copy. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the wonderful things that we've seen and for your goodness and for your loving kindness. We bless your name, O Father, because you have done great and wonderful things for us this year. And now we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you've prepared our hearts for the wonderful things that you are going to do next year. And we thank you for the quickening, for we are quickened and we are going to have a happy, quickened new year. Amen. And we thank you, Father, because you do wonderful miracles of a financial nature among your children. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you lift up people. You're lifting up a number of people in the name of Jesus. Lifting up a number of people in Jesus' name and bringing them to a place where they will look back and wonder and have to pinch themselves and say, wonder how they got there. Now we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because that is what you're doing in our midst, and you do wonderful things in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.